Hello, and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
It's that time of year again.
Boom, 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 boom.
Woo-hoo. That's right. It's a...
Was that the theme song for the Max Fun Drive? That's it?
Yeah.
I think it needs some work. I think we're going to have to workshop that.
Pretty good.
Well, okay. It was just kind of on the spot.
That's good.
It made me. Thank you. Thank you, Taylor.
I feel like I just opened a treasure chest in a video game.
That's exactly what I wanted.
Some shoes or something.
You've opened this episode. You've joined us on this adventure through the Max Fun Drive.
There you go.
Here we are.
That's right. It's the Maximum Fun yearly drive where we come to you, our listeners, and say, well, first of all, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. For being part of our community, for supporting us all these years through Riley's youth and the end of her youth, really.
Yeah, really.
Well, the end of her youth.
The end of my youth.
That is heavy. I haven't reached the end of my youth yet, have I? Nobody.
Apparently, we all have.
Yes, Taylor, I'm sorry to tell you this.
Oh, man.
Your youth ends when you can no longer be a teen on a podcast.
Listen, I only have a few more years before Charlie's the teen on this podcast, and I'm just out. Mm-hmm.
She's coming for you. I know. She's gunning. But that's right. So you have helped us. You have supported us. You listen to us, and we thank you for that. And we also want to ask if you are in a position this year where you'd like to join our community, become part of the Max Fun family, and help us make our shows by supporting us with your donations. This is the time to do it. This is the moment to do it. You can go to MaximumFun.org/join if it's something you want to do, if it's something you can do, because it helps us make more stuff and make it better and improve the quality of our shows, of our audio equipment, give us more time to donate or to designate for this specifically. So that we can hopefully make the shows you love even better. And there are lots of different levels at which you can donate. There are $5 a month. There's $10 a month. There's all kinds of, and there are gifts associated with all that. So again, if you've thought about joining the Max Fun family, this is the time to do it because it's exciting. Everybody's doing it. So like you're in on the trend and you get presents. So
yeah, that's really the thing. You get presents.
Yeah.
So MaximumFun.org/join. We'll tell you more about those presents later in the show, but we just want to start off by letting everyone know what time of year it is.
I like
there's that again. I like that for this very special Max Fun Drive episode, we continue to have this piece of gum here. On our recording
table. That's still
table.
There.
Yeah, can you see that, Taylor? There's a piece of gum.
Don't worry, it's chewed.
To my right. Yeah, it's a chewed piece of gum from my loving husband, who, he didn't want to chew in your ear while he was recording one of his podcasts, and so he took it out of his mouth and just stuck it, not under the desk,
like
a polite human, on top of the desk right next to me, so...
I'm going to call you out a bit, though, because you pointed that out last week when we were recording, and clearly, and it's still there, so is this just like a standoff? One of you is going to clean up the old crusty gum? One of your children are going to eat that if you don't do something about it.
That's true.
Listen.
Cooper loves gumballs.
It's 2021.
It's a pre-chewed gumball.
We've come a long way, baby. I do not have to clean up my husband's chewed gum.
It's one piece of gum.
I ain't Donna Reed. He can pick up his own gum.
I think the best part about it is this is his office space that I know he's in at least once a day. And I know it's been at least a week now where he has come in, sat at that chair you're sitting at right now, seen it, acknowledged its presence, and just left it.
Are you sure he's not like taking in a couple chews and then putting it back? Maybe it's the piece of gum.
It's his one. The one.
Okay. Wow.
Did anyone else ever think it sometimes looked a little tasty in like cartoons whenever they'd like have the like characters like scraping gum out from under the desks and they're all brightly colored and
no.
Like
no.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
Like, not in real life, but, like, I feel like there were lots of times in cartoons where they'd, like, someone's punishment in detention would be to scrape the desk, like, for gum. And they'd have all those little brightly colored pastel little wads.
Spit-filled.
Well, it was a cartoon, so I didn't know, like, its contents. It was just a little, like, colorful wad.
No, see, I maybe at some point that might have looked good to me, but I've had that actual job in a, like, a restaurant with, like, kind of a cafeteria seating in it. Where just like once a week somebody had to go around and just scrape underneath the tables, and once you do that you're different as a person forever.
Yeah, I felt the same about the bugs in Lion King.
Oh, the bugs look good. I thought they looked good.
Yeah, the bugs did look good in Lion King.
Okay, thank you. I've told this
especially
to people before. Yeah,
in the game.
Yeah.
The bugs.
Oh, the game, because then they made those popsicles that had them in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you all agree. I've told people this before, and they looked at me like it was a very weird thing to say.
I can get on board with the bugs, but not the ABC gum.
That's fair.
All right, Tay.
Yes.
please save us from this gum conversation.
All right. Well, hey, so for this week, I wanted to talk about the band Tegan and Sarah, which are they're twin sisters. Tegan Rain Quinn and Sarah Kirsten Quinn. They're a little bit older than us, Sid. They were born, like, I think 1980.
Mm-hmm.
They started making music together around, like, when they were 15. They've had, like, 9 studio albums. They've consistently been putting out albums since, like, I think their first big album came out in, like, 1999. And they've put out an album every couple of years since then.
And I should mention, you're wearing a shirt theirs right now. Is that correct?
I did. I didn't think I was getting dressed for the gym this morning, and I saw that up there. I was like, oh, this fits. Well, it's like it's their tour shirt from 2020 that they put out, and then they printed it, and then they just printed canceled all over it. So it was such a good object. I was like, I need that.
That's good. Oh, I enjoy that.
Yeah.
They have,
well, it's a good shirt.
Thank you. They have great merch. They like they've been on this like merch odyssey of putting out new shirt designs every month. And the newest one I kind of want because it's so this is a brief little story. Sarah started they started doing like a Instagram live show called like Where Does the Good Grow, and it was Sarah's adventure in like gardening. So they'd be out in Sarah's backyard and like talking about plants and stuff. But it was somewhat short lived. They started in quarantine. Somewhat short lived, though, because I think this is the actual story of why they ended it. A bear showed up in their backyard.
And oh, my gosh.
What?
So, you know, that kind of put an end to the show or put a pause. And then Sarah ended up moving and then they just never got back into it. But so they made a shirt that has a bear on it that says, "Where does the good grow go?"
That is great. I love this story. And I also love that, like, I can totally understand that. Like the idea, if a bear shows up in your backyard once, just like walking to the front yard and hammering a for sale sign into the front yard and going, "All right, well, that was nice at that place while it lasted.
It's the bear's house now.
I've given this house over to nature. I'm leaving. There are bears in the backyard. I'm done here."
That's exactly how a bear claims a house. It just shows up and you go, "Okay, fair bear."
I would feel that way. You can't run from bears.
No, you can't. You can't?
No, that triggers their predator response, and they just chase you.
Are they the ones you pet on the nose?
No.
It depends.
What?
Is that a shark?
Well, you don't pet the shark on the nose. I think they punch the shark.
Yeah. I thought you petted on the nose.
No.
Like, they're there.
No. Wait, you thought that if you're attacked by a shark, you should pet it?
No, like, not if you're attacked. Like, if you see a shark and it's coming towards you and you're like, "Wait, I can't run away because then it just chases me and it's faster than I am," you reach out and you, like, pet it.
No, you punch it. Now, that is, like, it does cause some sort of, like, I don't know, some sort of trauma to their brain that it will, like, stop a shark from attacking you if you hit it in the head. But I love that that's the advice. Like, okay, so if you're being attacked by a shark, punch it in the face. Like, if you're... No, okay.
Which is like, I mean, to be fair, that's sort of like just I mean, that's probably what I would instinctually do, just like flail.
I probably accidentally punch it.
Have to determine if the bear is striking an offensive or defensive pose.
Okay, I know can't.
This seems complicated.
I don't want to. We can't have this conversation.
No, there's it's too involved. But the right answer is move.
Okay. Yes.
Just leave your house.
Sarah was correct.
Sarah got it. Move away and live somewhere where there isn't a bear in the backyard.
And if there's a bear in that backyard, you move again.
Move again.
And if there's a bear in the third backyard, then you have a problem.
You have a bear.
You have a bear now. It is your bear.
What are you doing to attract so many bears? Have you thought about that?
The bear following you.
You're being stalked by the bear.
Does anyone else see the bear? Are you the only one that sees the bear?
Oh, there we go.
Let's start asking a lot of questions about this bear.
Maybe the bear is just a big fan of your musical career in this case.
Hey,
that's true. Yeah. Oh.
Well, Taylor, I was really glad that you brought this up because I realized, so you made a playlist for us and we listened to it. And I realized listening through it how little of their catalog I was familiar with.
Really?
There were like a handful of songs that I recognized from probably like from being popular back in the day. And then some from, I'm pretty sure, mix CDs that you made. There were like some songs that came on and it instantly like evoked other songs and from other bands. And I was like, this is part of a mix CD. Yeah. That is why this is happening. I'm having this weird sensation of like, this song goes with these songs because it was part of a mix CD you made.
That makes sense.
But I was really glad because I enjoyed it a lot. And it wasn't, I've realized, music that I was as familiar with.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this because a lot of the music that I was super into back in high school, I shared with you. And to be completely honest, while listening back in preparation for this episode, I realized how much I kept Tegan and Sarah to myself. I mean, largely because I was aware, like, they're both gay. They're both very out. And mm-hmm. and back then too, like, you know, when I was listening to their music in like the early 2000s, I was well aware it was queer music, and I wasn't out myself or comfortable like putting that idea out there. So I kind of like kept it to myself because it's like, well, if I like let people know I'm listening to all this Tegan and Sarah, they're gonna know. They already knew, but they're gonna know.
It's like the modern day. Like if you ask someone if they listen to Girl in Red, that really means like a deep. Do you like girls?
Yeah.
Do you listen to Tegan and Sarah?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think that was, it was like Ani DiFranco and Tegan and Sarah. And like Ani DiFranco was like, do you like girls? And are you kind of mad? And then like Tegan and Sarah was like, do you like girls? And you're kind of sad. That was me.
See, and I think that was, the Ani DiFranco was the language that I understood.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Sydney liked girls and was kind of mad.
That describes you.
Yes.
That should be my Twitter bio.
There it is.
This is true about me, but yes, facts.
Where does JoJo Siwa fall on that? You like girls and...
You're pretty okay. Yeah.
And you're okay?
Yeah.
And you're actually pretty stable?
And seem pretty well adjusted, and hopefully this is good news for the future for the queer community.
Yeah, you didn't have the hand-in-hand, like, well, I mean, you're going to be messed up somehow if you're a child dealing with, like, homophobia, right? No, like, there's a whole generation that's like, no, rainbows, bows, yay, I'm also gay. What is that? No depression? No anxiety? What?
That's funny.
Taylor, what do you think? Are there other things about Tegan and Sarah's music that connected you to it? I mean, other than like they were out queer artists, which was a big deal back then. I mean, not that it's not a big, you know what I mean? Like that was a much more rare thing. But there certainly were others too. What do you think specifically about their music?
Well,
connected with you so much.
I mean, I think it's that has, I think, a bigger like repercussion in their music, because knowing that, like, if it's, I mean, they have a lot of like love songs and heartbreak songs, but knowing that it's from a queer perspective kind of made you feel like this is for me. This mirrors my feelings. And there are specific sort of feelings in there that I think are kind of exclusively a queer experience, you know, like mm-hmm. they have songs that are like Boyfriend, which is off of, what was that off of? I think that's off of Love You to Death, maybe. But anyway, it's a song about, like, you know, you treat me like your boyfriend, but you trust me like a very best friend. And that confusion of, like, what are we when you're friends with somebody of, like, you know, the same gender identity? Like, is this just friendship? I have bad feelings that I'm, you know, like, am I somehow being a bad friend to you because I have this crush that I can't say out loud because, you mm-hmm. know, it's a gay crush. Like, that kind of a feeling, that kind of a longing and confusion is something that you really can only find from an artist that has your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And it's interesting, a lot of the songs that are more vague in the sense that they are about love, but you could put anybody in the you know, mm-hmm. it could be any gender. If you know who the artists are, it informs that. And I think that all plays very much into, like, the way, especially in, like, not as much the early 2000s, but definitely this, and this still lingered from the late 90s, the reaction to, like, knowing an artist was not straight and was singing about, you know, possibly someone of the same gender was always very, like, exciting and sort of like a secret that you were in on and something you could share mm-hmm. and know about, even though, like, everybody did know. Yeah. It wasn't a secret. It felt that way back then.
Right.
You know, well, and that was always, I don't know, that's like the classic Gen X reaction too, to, like, hearing that somebody's gay on a show, like, oh, hey, did you hear? Can you believe it?
And I think that the kind of music that they're, you know, in that context, like, because, you know, to go back, like, to the Ani DeFrancos, there was, like, a lot of, like, anger and, like, Riot Girl and, like, you know, kind of alternative music. This was sort of happy, like, or yearning pop music, you know, like, it's kind of like, it's like gay Taylor Swift sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, so you didn't have to, like, I wasn't angry about my identity. I was just sort of sad and confused, and these songs mirrored that love, like, it, you know, kind of mm-hmm. without the anger, just it was yeah. pop for me.
I think that's very true. I had not realized how much of that sort of pop feeling there was to some of their music. Because, like, I had, in my head, they were, like, sort of indie folk music. And when I was listening through, and I was listening to one of the songs, and I was thinking, like, this sort of reminds me of, like, 80s Madonna, whatever I was listening to. And, like, I think they did, I was reading some interviews with them, that they did draw influences from people like Madonna and Cyndi Lauper and that kind of thing. And that is in their music. And that wasn't something, because I just had this sort of vague cultural notion of where I thought they fit, I didn't realize how much of that music they made too, which is, like, really fun and nice to have that sort of balance. Mm-hmm. So you have that sort of, like, sadder, more soulful kind of music. And then you also have, like, fun and right. like catchy and, like, with a good hook.
Yeah. I had I didn't think I'd ever listened to Tegan and Sarah before. And then I got your playlist and just put it on shuffle as I was doing other stuff to start listening. And the first song that came on was Closer, which is from one of their more recent albums. Yeah. 'Cause that was, like, 2013, I think.
That was Heartthrob, yeah.
I had definitely heard that song before. And then when I heard that song and realized I definitely heard it before, and then I listened to the other songs from that album, I don't know what, like, part of my life I've come across this album, or if it was in, like, a movie or a TV show or something, but it is very familiar to me, and it is very reminiscent of, like kind of early mid 2000 teens pop, but also, like, indie pop. And mm-hmm. It was, like, I remember it, and I remember really liking it, and I really enjoyed those songs. I enjoyed all of it, but that was surprising to me that song came on. I definitely remembered hearing it. I feel like it's been in some teen movie I've seen at some point. But it felt like it would fit very well in the kind of music I was listening to that was coming out at that time when I was a teen.
I'm glad that you liked Heartthrob specifically, because that's one of my favorite of their albums. Like, it's funny how usually, like, with an older band, there's kind of the height of their career where everybody likes this mm-hmm. album, and then the newer stuff less so. But, like, So Jealous is probably my favorite album of theirs, which is one of their older albums. And then Heartthrob is probably my second favorite. I love mm-hmm. it. Like, those songs are... That was, like, a time and a place for me, too, when that album came out and, like, the stuff I was going through, like, oh, like, I was a fool and, like, all messed up. It's like, those are just such good songs.
Yeah.
I like that. I have to say, I think I was partial to, I was trying to remember which album, because I know what songs I liked. If I Was You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. I like the songs you shared off of that, especially Living Room. That was maybe my favorite. I liked You In A Way as well.
Yeah.
And I've heard.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was say it was hard on some of those albums, like If I Was You and So Jealous, like trying to cut it down to 4 or 5 songs. I mean, you can see the list on So Jealous. I just gave up. No, these are all going on. These all have to be there.
I really like the newer stuff, too. I found myself really connecting with the most recent album, the one from 2019. Hey, I'm Just Like You.
You know, and here's a cool thing about that. Those are actually mainly songs that they wrote back when they were teenagers.
Huh.
And they, really? Yeah. So they released that album along with, they came out with a memoir about high school, their high school years, that is actually being made into a television show that Clea Duvall is directing, at least the first episode. It's like writing, directing. But yeah, so I thought that was cool that it's their most recent album, but it's songs from like deep in their past. That's also a great album.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a very cool idea. And the music felt very modern to me. Maybe lyrically, maybe going back and listening, I would hear that more there, but it felt very now. I mean, it didn't feel like something from, you know, a decade or two ago.
It was a solid quarantine album because that just came out in 2019. And that's, I don't think I started listening to it till last year. I was like, oh, because it's a lot more like pared down. You know, it's not as produced. It's sort of singer songwritery.
I want to talk more about Tegan and Sarah and how much you love them, Tay. But before we do that,
let's check the group message.
So once again, we want to talk to you about the Max Fun Drive because we're really excited. We love this time of year. We love it because we get to talk about the Maximum Fun family of shows and how much it means to us and how important it is and how much it has meant to us as creators to be a part of this community, to be able to not just have people who listen to our shows, but help support us and help us do the things we do. Because that's you, the listener. You are the one who makes all of this possible. I have talked many times before about how because of being part of Maximum Fun, because of you, I have been able to devote more of my time to making these shows, to researching for the shows I do, to creating the shows I do, to making them sound better, so that hopefully you will enjoy that, you know, to make more of them and make them better. And to also do other things with the time that it's given me, like provide free medical care. So, you know, my life personally, I can attest, has been changed by you. And hopefully what has come from that is better stuff for us to make for you. And I think you all have had sort of similar experiences from being a part of the Maximum Fun Network.
Yeah. I mean, because of all of you, because of Max Fun, I'm a full-time college student, but I also can spend time working on our shows. I can spend time focusing on school. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to be able to go to law school in the future. That's a decision I've been able to make and decide I want to pursue a career in law and know I can go to law school because of you all. And that's something that I don't think I would have been able to do or felt like I could do without that. So, yeah.
Well, and as I've, outside of this, made my career in the restaurant industry, this past year has been particularly devastating. So I'm incredibly thankful for the donors to Max Fun. It's kept me afloat in a year that would have been, unmanageable outside of that. So, And you know, also like helps me be able to actually make art, you know, outside of this. So that's life changing.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough. If you are already a member of our community, if you're already supporting our shows, thank you. If you are thinking, you know, this is something that I really enjoy and I get a lot out of and I'd like to help support, to help make and continue to keep all of our shows going and make them better and more of them and all those things, this is the time to do it. Because during the Max Fun Drive, you can, you know, be part of the excitement of, you know, everybody doing this together. But at the same time, we give you presents. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of different levels at which you can donate, you know, depending on what you're able to do right now. And there are gifts associated with each one. So, Riley, do you want to start telling us about some of those gifts?
So at the $5 per month or more level, you get access to all the bonus content, including some brand new stuff for this year. So that doesn't just mean our bonus episode from this year, which was great. Charlie was in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, she roasted all of us. It was wonderful.
She did. She roasted all of us and then filled us in on what the kids like.
Yes. She made it very clear she is coming from my position on this show. Mm-hmm. But you can hear all that. And not just that, you can hear our bonus episodes from every year before, as well as bonus content from every other show on the Max Fun Network from every year. So many hours of content, so many special episodes that are just for you all that donate $5 a month or more. And then at $10 a month or more, which is my personal favorite, you get a Max Fun show pin of your choice. And that is always something exciting every year to see what everyone's show pins look like. They're different every year. Ours this year is a little cassette player with little headphones, got a little SB on the cassette that's playing because, mm-hmm. like, you're listening to still buffering, you know.
It's a very cute pin, and all of them are great designs. Megan Lynn Cott, as always, designs all these enamel pins, and you're gonna have trouble choosing just one.
Yeah, so pick one for whatever show you want. $10 a month or more. There's other stuff beyond this as well.
At $20 a month, you get a tea kit, Atomic Pixies designed, an Art Nouveau inspired tea tin. There's a rocket insulated cup that you get at the $35 a month level. And at all these levels, you get all the gifts from the previous levels, too.
Right.
And there are higher levels, too, if that's something you're in a position to do. And when you do donate, there's a place for you to, you know, go ahead and click which shows you listen to on the network. And the reason we do that is because we get some of the money you donate. So it's not, it definitely goes to our network, to our family, to help, you know, do all the business of having a podcast network. But the majority of the money you donate is going to the shows you listen to the creators mm-hmm. that make these shows that you enjoy. So if you are listening to Still Buffering, if you like Still Buffering, go ahead and click Still Buffering too, because then we get a portion of that monthly donation to continue to do the stuff we do and hopefully do more of it and better and all those things, mm-hmm. So that you keep enjoying it. So make sure and do that when you donate, please, because that helps us out. So again, we would really appreciate, if you can, this is the time, go to MaximumFun.org/join and sign up today for a monthly donation. Get your presents, get your bonus content, and make sure and click Still Buffering as one of your shows.
Do it right now while you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's fresh in your brain.
MaximumFun.org/join. All right, Taylor.
Yes.
Have you ever been to a Tegan and Sarah show?
I've not, actually.
I wondered about that. I feel like when shows came around to this area, I don't remember them being here.
No. As I mentioned, I think that it was sort of a gay secret for me for so long that I think it would have been, you know, as much as I would have wanted to see them, I think I wouldn't have pursued that had they even come local. But, you know, maybe after the quarantine, they are still touring. They've been touring actively this whole time, not during the quarantine, but since their inception. Right.
I think that that's really amazing that they've been able to do that and create together and tour together for this long. Because, you know, sometimes working with your siblings can be oof.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey, now.
Okay.
I'm joking. We're gay siblings that produce art.
Yeah.
we're basically Tegan and Sarah.
I know, and sometimes y'all are a lot, is all I'm saying.
Wow, so. Okay.
Well, get some tips from Tegan and Sarah on the longevity thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to put out 9 studio albums. Yeah. Sorry. We're doing our best.
What one fun fact that I enjoy is that when they first started, they originally called their band Plunk, and then they decided to just release under their own names. But they
Plunk.
Like, which I wonder, so they mentioned Green Day as one of their influences as well, and Green Day had Kerplunk, so I don't know, maybe there's a thought there. But then when they decided to go by their own names, they started out as Sarah and Tegan, but they mm-hmm. decided to switch it because too many people thought that they were one person because they're twins, so they look alike, and they thought they were one person named Sarah Antigan.
Oh no.
Oh, no. No, that doesn't work. Tegan and Sarah.
That flows it does. Better too. Yeah. I can see that. And it's a good name. It's memorable. It's good. Mm-hmm. I approve. I also like their part of my awareness of them was their advocacy.
Yes. They are very outspoken, supportive, both for like causes in the LGBTQ community and also outside of that. Like they're very much activists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was very cool. They're involved in it. They have like a foundation, and they're involved in a lot of projects for fundraising for that. And they were very involved in the marriage equality.
Oh, that's awesome.
Movement, yeah. Yeah, which is very cool. Both here and in Canada, I think.
Oh, yeah, they are Canadian.
Oh, they're Canadian?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that explains why they're so great. All the stuff that comes out of Canada. I mean, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
The Levees.
Degrassi.
Tegan and Sarah.
Radio Free Roscoe.
There you go.
A lot of good, kind content.
Dragon's Den.
Not familiar with that one.
It's just Canadian Shark Tank.
Oh, well, all right.
Listen, Shark Tank is American Dragon's Den. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Which actually, I think Dragon's Den Canada was originally British Dragon's Den. So actually, never mind. The UK gets credit for that one, okay. I think, originally. But moving on, back to Tegan and Sarah. away from TV shows that celebrate capitalism, please. Yeah. Well, Taylor, it's weird. I wonder if that was why we've talked about before on the show that a lot of the stuff that was cool that I was ever into it came from you. So it makes sense as to why, like, this wasn't something that I was as familiar with. And it feels like it should have been. Like, as I was listening to it, I was like, oh, Teen Sydney would have loved this. Why mm-hmm. wasn't she listening to it?
It was hard for me to grapple with how much, like, I hid, how much of my feelings I hid in Tegan and Sarah's music as a young person. Like, that was my place to go when I had nobody that I could talk to about how I felt, you know, crushes on girls. Like, I didn't have anybody I could talk to, and it was like a horrible secret that I couldn't share, but I had Tegan and Sarah's music to listen to. And like, I listened back to these songs, and it's such like a time and a place for me, like an exact moment of like, nobody else can know, but I have this sad song that I can listen to on repeat and kind of feel my feelings. And like, that was kind of, their music was the place that I went to. So I think it was sort of sacred to me, but it definitely was a secret.
That's really interesting. I don't know that. I mean, Riley, would you say that there's music like that now for you that you have had? Or is it just that kind of idea of music is thankfully becoming less necessary? You know what I mean? Like, to have like a secret like that.
I guess it's become less necessary. I mean, I guess coming to terms with like, or understanding your own sexuality, I think is still hard for anyone, no matter when or how progressive accepting society gets. I've still felt that before, even though I didn't feel a need because of society when I was feeling those things to like keep that a secret. But I guess when it comes to music, like there are more openly queer artists, there are mm-hmm. more openly out people that are making music and telling their stories through TV shows and art and music and all those things, that sure, if you listen to them, I mean, it is kind of a meme, a joke online that like, oh, you listen to Girl in Red, you must be a girl that likes girls, like that kind of thing. Like, there are bands that's like, oh, okay,
is that a band?
It. Yes, Girl in Red. They're great music, but it is like a funny thing online to ask, oh, if you want to ask if someone likes girls, you ask if they listen to Girl in Red.
It's not Lady in Red, the song.
No.
Okay.
No.
Or you could also ask about Hayley Kiyoko, which I think is very much the same.
Yes.
Nothing makes me happier and hopeful for the queer future than Hayley Kiyoko's music videos, where she's just like, I'm hot, here's a bunch of hot ladies that want me. This song is about how hot I am and all the hot ladies that want me. She has songs about her coping with, you know, being like a young gay artist. But like, also just like, it's like those, you know, hot like music videos, like pop songs from our youth. It just happens to be gay. And I love it.
And Hayley Kiyoko, this took me the longest time to figure out, but she was in a Disney movie that I was in love with growing up called Lemonade Mouth, and her character was great, and she had one of the best songs in the whole show. And her character in that movie, I remember watching when I was a young teen, thinking, like, I think this character might be queer. But of course they didn't say that. And then later, obviously, Hayley Kiyoko was like, yeah, I was gay. That character also, that was me, I'm gay. And like, it's just, she was one of those people that I watched growing up. I was like, there is something I understand about you and about your character. And now I know why. But Tegan and Sarah's music to me is very similar in the sense that, like, even if the vibes or like the aesthetic is different in terms of like some of the albums or the overall like feel, not super different, but slightly, like, the feeling that you get listening to someone who is letting you in on that part of themselves and mm-hmm. encouraging you to, like, I want people like me to listen to this and understand what I'm feeling, and here's a place for you to relate with your feelings. But also people who don't get this, listen to my music and understand how other people feel if you don't get it. Like, that whole vibe of someone who is queer or whatever making something and letting you relate to it, I think that is always very universal in people who are making music, like Tegan and Sarah, Hayley Kiyoko, Girl in Red, whatever. And I really appreciate that. I really enjoy that, because I didn't know they were gay listening to this when I first mm-hmm. started. And then listening to their music, I was like, okay. And then, of course, looked them up. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, it's because I think so much of like the music that I was outwardly into was all like, you know, a lot of punk, like a lot of harder stuff. And that's kind of that armor that I think, once again, I hope there's a future where the gay youth doesn't feel the need to build up an armor to protect themselves or the world. But I certainly did. And then, you know, that was like the outward projection, like, punk rock, like hardcore, like, don't mess with me. Mm-hmm. And then inside, it's like, oh, I'm just going to curl up inside my armor and listen to some Tegan and Sarah and cry. It's so nice.
And it's, but it's nice too, because there are a lot of songs that like, I think it's nice to see things crossing over, that it's like, hey, we are open about who we are. We are queer artists. These are songs about queer relationships, but like, they're so universally applicable. It's nice to like put that out there, since for so long pop music was so heteronormative, and it was like, well, you can have it too, I guess, if you want to, if you're gay, but like, it's not, you know, it's our ground. And if it happens to be sort of nebulous as to what gender I'm singing about, or like, you know, what my sexuality is, like, that's nice for you. It's nice to like reclaim that. And like, well, because the songs are about love and breakup that are applicable to everyone. They're definitely written from that perspective. But like, you don't have to be gay to like them.
Right.
You can be straight and totally be into them.
Well, I mean, that makes me think it was not one of their original songs, but they sang some verses on a Beach Bunny song called Cloud Nine. And this mm-hmm. is a pretty recent release. The Beach Bunny verse is like, it's a girl singing, and she's singing like, the chorus is like, when he loves me, like, you know, I feel good, basically. But then when the Tegan and Sarah verses start, the first one they sing is when she loves me. So it's a woman singing to a woman. And then the last verse they sing is actually when they love me. And now at first I thought, oh, it's just because, you know, the first verse is about a guy, the second verse is about a girl. They're just singing it together as singing to their respective love interest. But they have since clarified, like, no, that is the singular they. So they made a verse in a song for non-binary people.
Yeah.
Which, aww. I don't know, like, it's silly to like, it's one verse in one song. It's nice, but you know, it's easily can be misconstrued. But the thought of like, it's not just, this is a song written for me. It's that this is a song that is singing lovingly and admiringly about a non-binary person. And that's the kind of representation that I didn't even know I needed. But you know, cause you just don't think, like, you're coming out, and in a way there's so much concern about like, this is definitely me, but this is going to make it even harder for someone to love me. And having that you know, hearing yourself be the subject of a love song is, it's really powerful.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is. I think that's so important to do. I mean, that stuff, I mean, it does matter. One verse in one song does make a difference because it's acknowledging, you know, the validity of you and who you are and your experience in life. And
and that song and that verse specifically have blown up on TikTok big time.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
It's really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
No. It's not just I didn't realize, all right.
I didn't realize it was the same song until I was going through this playlist and that one came up. I was like, wait a minute. This is one of those songs. I know 60 seconds of it because it's on TikTok.
And I think it's so impressive, the versatility of Tegan and Sarah, that all these songs we've talked about and all the meaning behind some of these songs and how emotional and how much you can get in touch with them and how deep they are. And then at the same time, they did Everything Is Awesome with the Lego movie.
Yes. Which is
just great.
I should have put that on the playlist because I did think about that. But I also was like, I hope that Charlie and Cooper listen to this song because this sounds right up their alley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have sung Everything's Awesome in this house many, many times.
That's good. I'm glad.
Just because I couldn't stop thinking about it, I had to figure out where did I hear Closer in media. And it was in a few TV shows, like in the background and stuff that I've seen, which makes sense. But then I thought, no, I've definitely heard it more than just in the background. And I am sad to report it was in an episode of Glee, and it was covered by the New Directions on Glee.
Oh, no.
Well, all right.
But in the later years when they weren't as good. Hmm. So that is sad that is the exposure I remember having to this song. And obviously the original is certainly better. And just in case anyone else is curious, that's
that makes sense.
I heard it.
That makes sense. I think it was a radio hit too, though.
Yeah. I knew I had heard it, but then when I realized that they had done it on Glee, I was like, well, now I do remember. Now, unfortunately, I do remember this.
Well, and that's true because there were definitely, especially back when these songs would have been popular, like some of the older songs originally, they would have been radio hits. And also, I guarantee you, I know some of these songs from like teen shows I was watching. Mm-hmm. I guarantee I was hearing it there and just didn't realize, yeah, like, that's where that came from. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then
I don't know.
Then I'd sneak one on a mix and be like, ho, 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 we're going to play this loudly in your car and no one will know.
I mean, Tay, I definitely knew, but.
Well, yeah, no one was fooled, but we all just were pretending. I thought I was pulling off a great con.
I love you, Tay.
Thanks. I love you too.
You weren't, but that was okay.
It's all right. It's actually more comforting, right? Like when someone's like, oh, I kind of knew all along. It's like, oh, thank God.
We all knew.
I don't know why that makes you feel good.
I guess I got a feigned surprise.
Yeah.
I could have been like, what? No. You? I want to thank you for bringing up Tegan and Sarah and sharing, especially knowing now how much they meant to you still, as part of, you know, you figuring out who you were and finding yourself and coming to terms with your truth. Like, thank you very much for sharing all that with us.
Well, thank you both for listening.
It was great music, but it makes it even better to know all that about, you know, what they mean to you.
Oh, yeah.
What they meant to you.
Well, thank you.
And now it's you. Now look at that. Now you've shared it with everyone.
Yeah, there you go. You want to work through some gay yearning, or you need some happy happy gay pop songs? Like they got whatever you need.
I would say that's true. It's a wide variety. It's not because it really, I expected, like, my memory was like, didn't they do like sort of like low tempo, like kind of mushy music? And I mean, yes, but no, not just that.
Right.
It's so much more than that. So
that, and maybe that's something to say, like not getting so giant that you get cemented into one sound. But I do think that, like, listening back to all their albums piled up on each other, I'm like, wow, they changed their sound a lot and they pull it off well. Like, they are very dancey albums. They are very folk albums. They are very poppy albums. It's really, like, they have a good array.
Mm-hmm. That's talent, too.
Yes.
Well, before we close out with one more discussion of the Max Fun Drive, what are we going to do next week?
Well, I'm very excited because I don't know about, well, I do know about you two actually, but I don't know about the rest of you all listening at home, but The Circle is back this year.
Yes.
And it's been on for the past few weeks. I've been caught up the day it comes out. I binge them all. I'm very into it. And the season finale comes out this week that we're recording this. So I want to talk about The Circle again next week. We've talked about it before, but there's a new season, new twists, new turns, new characters, new catfish. There's my my pitch. We're going to talk about The Circle next week.
Members of NSYNC. Maybe.
Yeah, or maybe.
So if you're going to listen next week, we are going to spoil The Circle.
Yeah.
Because by then we'll know everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, watch it all.
You should just watch it because it's good, but also because, you know, we're going to talk about
it.
Also
not a lot of it. Those are what, like eight episodes? 10 total? 12,
maybe.
Yeah.
That's it. So check it out.
Well, thank you both, and thank you listeners, especially all of our listeners out there. Well, thank you all anyway, but especially if you are a member of the Max Fun family, if you're part of our community and you donate some of your hard-earned dollars so that we can keep doing everything that we love doing for you. I mean, because that's the other part of it. We really love being able to do this. We really love having the time and the equipment and the everything to, you know, to be able to create these shows for you and to hopefully keep making stuff better for you to enjoy. It means a lot to us, and it means a lot that you are willing to throw your support behind us and say, you know what, I like a thing, I'm willing to help support it. That's a really powerful statement for creators to receive. So thank you. Again, there are lots of levels at which you can donate. This is the time. This is the drive. If you're going to do it now. MaximumFun.org/join because you get a present or more.
Or more.
At $5 a month, you get all that great bonus content. I cannot tell you enough how much, I mean, so much good stuff through the years that all the shows have created. And you get it all. Mm-hmm. You get access to it all. It's over 200 hours. Please don't listen all at once. That could be a lot.
I mean,
take some breaks. Time.
As long as you're doing other things while you're listening.
Drink water.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
Yeah. Go to the bathroom. Stretch.
Yeah.
Stretching.
Have
good.
A snack.
Have a snack.
Yeah.
You should take breaks for sleeping.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hours. Mm. Yeah. But that's it. It's the best time to join if you're going to join. Again, at $10 a month, you get one of those beautiful enamel pens created by Megan Lincott. You can choose any show you want. Ours is awesome. Check them all out. And then there are higher levels from there. But anything you can do, it really helps us out. This is the time to donate, to upgrade your membership if you're in a position to. If you want one of those gifts at a higher level and this year you think, yeah, I can do this and I want to help out, this is the moment. MaximumFun.org/join. And thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone
thank
who
you.
Donates to our shows and helps us do the thing we love for you. Mm. And thank you to Maximum Fun for letting us be part of this wonderful family. Go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows, more details about the drive, all the stuff we've said, other, you know, questions, anything you have that you want to look at. Check out all the pins.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look great. And you can email us at stillbuffering@maximumfun.org. You can tweet at us at stillbuff. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mine.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And I am too.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, now you gotta close the treasure chest. You gotta do it in reverse.
Bah, 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 bah.
Thank you.
Still think it needs lyrics.
Well, book on.
Well, that's your job, Sid.
Yeah.
That's one drive. Feel so alive.
Okay.
Help us
great
survive.
Great job, both of you. More accurate.
Help us to thrive. Max Fun Drive. We'll keep working on it.
Okay.
The next Tegan and Sarah.
Max Fun Drive's almost here. It starts on Monday, May 3rd, ends on May 14th, and it's the best time to support the shows you love. Here are some folks like you sharing what Max Fun and our shows mean to them.
Most importantly, it's meant community.
And just thanks for hanging out, making joke 'em ups, and making my week a little bit brighter.
So, thanks, Max Fun, for making me a better person and making sure that I'm surrounded by better people.
Thanks again for all you do. Love supporting Max Fun, and keep it up.
Come back Monday, May 3rd for more details from your favorite hosts. We'll have some of the best episodes of the year, special Max Fun Drive thank you gifts, and maybe a few surprises. That's Monday, May 3rd. Until then.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.